Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with spiritualizing Scripture as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 61. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed when you shall receive thy sisters, thine elder and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God. Now in chapter 17, he speaks a parable of a great eagle. And this is where some of these harebrained people begin to spiritualize and try to read the United States into prophecy because there is an eagle on the top of the flag. And because he uses an eagle in a parable, that must refer to the United States, you know, and they start twisting and spiritualizing to try to make this fit the United States. But if you'll just read the beginning, there's no way that you can twist it. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle and speak a parable unto who? The house of Israel, not to the United States, but to the house of Israel. But people get all into this spiritualizing of scriptures and they fail to read this part. And they get down into the eagle and snapping the twig from Lebanon and they start making all of these spiritual types of analogies and it just gets off the wall. And say, thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long wing, full of feathers, which had various colors, came unto Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar. Now, this greatest eagle is Nebuchadnezzar. The highest branch of the cedar would be the house of David, the king, from who was Jehoiakim at this particular time, and cropped off the top of the young twigs and carried it to the land of traffic and set it in the city of merchants as the king was taken as a captive to Babylon. He took also of the seed of the land and planted it in the fruitful field. That is, he took the son Zedekiah and he made him the king, entering into a covenant, swearing by God you'll be faithful to him and so forth. Zedekiah made a pledge to Nebuchadnezzar to rule the people as a vassal state to Babylon, and he swore by God his allegiance to Nebuchadnezzar. But, of course, he rebelled against it. He did not honor this covenant that he had sworn by the Lord. So he took also the seed, that is the eagle, of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He took Zedekiah, he placed it by the great waters and set it up as a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him. And the roots thereof were under him, so that it became a vine and brought forth branches and shot forth sprigs. But there was also another great eagle, Egypt, with great wings, the Pharaoh Hophri, with great wings and many feathers, and behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him. Zedekiah sent down to Egypt to make an alliance, to come up against the Babylonian army. And it was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. Say thou, thus saith the Lord God, shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof and cut off the fruit thereof, that it wither? And it shall wither in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power or many people to pluck it up by the roots thereof. Yea, behold, being planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither? When the east wind touches it, it shall wither in the furrows where it grew. So this alliance with Egypt will not stand, but the nation will be destroyed. Zedekiah will be destroyed. And so it goes on to speak of his rebellion. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, say now to the rebellious house, to Zedekiah, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem, and he has taken the king thereof and the princes thereof and led them with him to Babylon. And he hath taken of the king's seed. And of course, he's explaining now this parable, and it's nothing to do with the United States. This is the explanation of this eagle parable. It's the king of Babylon who has come to Jerusalem and taken the king thereof and the princes thereof and led them with him to Babylon. And he has taken the king's seed, and that is Zedekiah, made a covenant with him and has taken an oath of him. He has also taken the mighty of the land, that the kingdom might be based, that it might not lift itself up, but by the keeping of his covenant it might stand. But he, Zedekiah, rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar in sending his ambassadors to Egypt, that other eagle, that they might give him horses and many people. Shall he prosper? Shall he escape that has done such things? And shall he break the covenant or be delivered? As I live, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwells, that made him king, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he broke, even with him in the midst of Babylon, he shall die. And Zedekiah was indeed brought to Babylon and died there. Neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company make for him in the war by casting up mounts and building forts to cut off many persons. Seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, when lo, he had given his hand, they shook on it and all, and hath done all these things, he shall not escape. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely my oath that he has despised, and my covenant that he has broken, even it will I recompense upon his own head. And I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, and will plead with him there for his trespass that he hath trespassed against me. And all of his fugitives with all of his bands shall fall by the sword, and they that remain shall be scattered toward all the winds. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, and I have spoken it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch of the high cedar. And this is a prophecy that goes on now concerning Jesus Christ, as he was the root out of the stem of Jesse, or the rod out of the stem of Jesse. So, again, the highest branch from David, the high cedar, I will set it. I will crop off the top of his young twigs, a tender one, and will plant it upon Mount Zion, the high mountain and eminent. And in the mountain of the height of Israel, Mount Zion, will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar. And under it shall dwell all of the fowls of every wing, and the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell. And all of the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree and have exalted the low tree. I have dried up the green tree and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken it and have done it. Now, there are instructions for those who have been taken to Babylon, and Ezekiel now turns and speaks to them. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, what mean ye that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? Now, it is interesting that Ezekiel was in Babylon. And this proverb was at that time being spoken in Babylon. They're going around and saying, well, our fathers ate sour grapes and our teeth are set on edge. In other words, we are bearing the results of our fathers' sins. We're suffering because of what our fathers did. Now, Jeremiah makes mention of the fact that this same proverb was being spoken back in Jerusalem. Those people in the siege were saying, our fathers have eaten sour grapes, and our teeth are set on edge. It's interesting how that we just don't like to take the blame for what we have done. We always like to blame someone else. So if you're some kind of a neurotic nut, you go to a psychologist and they'll tell you, well, it's not you, it's your father, you see. That's your problem. Your father ate the sour grapes. Now you're a neurotic mess, you know. Hey, you are what you are, and you might as well take responsibility for yourself. Quit trying to blame someone else for all of your ills or all of your problems. That old business of trying to blame someone else goes back to the beginning. God said, Adam, what have you done? Oh, the woman that you gave me to be my wife, you know. She did tempt me and I did eat. You know, rather than accept the responsibility for what a person has done, we always like to throw it over onto someone else. We're quite irresponsible in this manner. But God is saying, what is this proverb that these people are saying? Our fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God. God's going to explode this proverb now. Ye shall not have an occasion to use this proverb anymore in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Every man is going to be responsible to God for himself. When I stand before God, I'm going to have to answer for only one person, me. I'm not going to have to answer for my children or my wife, as close as we are. The only one I answer to God for is me. The only one God's going to talk to me about is me. When you stand before God, you're only going to be responsible for you, but you will be responsible for you. You're going to have to answer to God for yourself. And you can't say, well, my dad was, you know, or my mom was, or you can't throw it off. You're going to, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And God isn't going to punish your parents for what you are, nor is he going to punish you for what your parents were. Nor is he going to reward you for what your parents were or reward your parents for what you are, as the case may be. Each man stands before God as an individual and answers for himself. And it's time that you face up to that reality and you begin to be responsible before God, knowing that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things that we have done while we've been living in these bodies, whether they be good or evil. Might as well prepare yourself. But if a man is just and does that which is lawful and right and has not eaten upon the mountains, that is, these abominable feasts to these pagan gods, or lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has come near a menstruous woman, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge. When someone would make give you a pledge for a debt, a lot of times they'd just keep the pledge. And has spoiled none by violence, and has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity and has executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes and hath kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord God. Now, those are the things, if you want to live by the law, that you'll have to do. Now, God has a better way of righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. If he beget a son that is a robber or a shedder of blood, and that does the like to any of these things, and that does not any of those duties, but has eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, oppressed the poor and needy, has spoiled by violence, has not restored the pledge, and has lifted up his eyes to idols and committed abomination, and has given forth upon usury, loaned with usurious interest rates, and has taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He has done all of these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Now, lo, if he beget a son that sees all of his father's sins, which he has done, and considers and does not such like, that he has not eaten upon the mountains, neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, nor defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has oppressed any, nor withheld the pledge, and so forth. That he hath taken of his hand of the poor, and he hath not received usury nor increase, and has executed my judgments, has walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. Every man answers for himself. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, and lo, he shall die in his iniquity. Yet you say, why? Doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all of his sins that he has committed, God's grace, God's mercy, if the wicked will turn and keep my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he will not die. And all his transgressions that he has committed, they shall be not mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his way and live? God is so maligned in the minds of people, as people look upon God as some kind of a vengeful character who is just, you know, waiting to cast people into hell. Not so. God is so patient, so long-suffering. He'll do anything to keep a person out of hell. He has done everything to keep a person out. He even sent his only begotten Son to bear all of our sins, to make it so easy to get into heaven. And to get into hell, you have to go against the grace of God, the love of God. You have to despise his Son, Jesus Christ. Turn your back upon the provisions of God. And really, you have to, in a sense, cross over the body of Jesus Christ to get into hell, because he stands in your way to block you. And you've got to shove him aside. It's not easy to get to hell. You've got to fight God every step. Conviction of God's Holy Spirit. But if you're stubborn enough and hang in there, you can make it. But when the righteous turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and listen carefully, and does according to all of the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All of his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In the trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord isn't equal. That isn't fair. God said, hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and dies in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turns away from his wickedness that he has committed and does that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he has considered and turned away from all of his transgressions that he hath committed, and he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal and not your ways unequal? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all of your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. So God's crying to Israel, look, turn from your transgressions. Turn to me and live. I don't have any pleasure in the death of the wicked. Turn and live. God's pleading with him. You say, but what does that mean if the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity and dies in his iniquity, his righteousness will not be remembered? Well, that's for you to figure out. I think it means what it says. Moreover, take thou up a lamentation. So this is a lamentation. And notice at the beginning he says a lamentation, and at the end he said, this is a lamentation and shall be a lamentation. Now, if I were a Bible critic, I would tell you why this wasn't a lamentation. If I were in the school of higher criticism, one of those biblical scholars.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 16 through 19 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you and bless you. May He give you a good week. May you just experience more and more the grace and the fullness of our Lord. May you discover God's blessed plan that He has in mind for you. And may you not come short in any spiritual gift. May you abound in all things in Christ Jesus as we wait for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you, and the Lord bless you.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
The Word for Today is pleased to present a flash drive of audio Bible studies by Kay Smith, titled A Collection of Cherished Messages. Just listen to what others are saying.
Kay Smith changed my life. Her teachings encouraged me to want more of Jesus. And through her counsel and mentoring, I fell in love with Him in a deeper way.
When I first heard Kay, I was driving in my car. I was so moved that it brought me to tears because I needed to repent. That moment impacted my life to be a better mom and who I am today.
Renew your strength, please. I beg, I beseech, I entreat, and if there's any other word, I do that too. Get in His Word. Make it more than your necessary food every day.
Kay Smith has a special place in her heart to teach and encourage women to live for Jesus. To order this flash drive with over 90 audio messages by Kay Smith, visit thewordfortoday.org or call 800-272-9673.